Hello there, Meow Mentors. It's Cat Lady Justin, and this is the Kitty Boss, where we pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. Today is just a few days before Valentine's Day, so this will be our relationships special, where we'll talk about everything to do with your relationship with your cat, its relationship with you, cat's relationship with other cats, and maybe we'll talk about what to do if your new partner and your cat don't get along, and just get rid of the partner. Dump them. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about what to do. We'll talk about what to do with that in a minute. That was weird. I just left my own thing. So without further ado, let's bring in our favorite cat behaviorist, or one of our favorite cat behaviorists, because we have lots of favorites. We don't play favorites. Dr. Rachel Geller. Dr. Rachel, it's great to see you. Let's catch up. How are you doing?
I'm well, Justin. Lovely to be here.
We've got something funny. Already got a comment from Paul Bear. Meowlentides for cats. That's a good one. Happy Meowlentine's Day is coming up just a few days from now, not too much longer there. So that's kind of the theme for this show is we'll talk about relationships. We'll talk about what to do with your cat if, let's say, it's not getting along. You got a new honey and your other honey, your furry one, isn't getting along because that could be an issue for some people. I'll tell you what. I had a date once that went relatively well, and then we met up at my place and we were having tea, and the cats did not like this person one bit, not one bit. I mean, to the point of hissing. The cats don't do that normally. My cats are not hissers, and to just do that spontaneously upon meeting a person is a sign. And so that was a deal breaker. That was the end of that one. It was dead on arrival.
Judges of character, Justin.
Exactly. I mean, there was no like, you know, second, third date. That's it. It was before I was going to get too stuck in and involved. That's it. You know, luckily that's not a problem with, you know, my partner now, but it was weird. And so obviously the advice is, you know, if it's a new person that you just met and, you know, or maybe been dating for a week or two, and the cats despise them. I mean, my advice is just, you know, you've known your cats longer. I mean, seriously, you're gonna jeopardize these, you know, beings that you've had a relationship with for years or that will be with you for the rest of their lives for that thing? I don't think so. But, you know, some people might disagree with me. Paul Bear agrees with you. Cats are great judges of character. They totally are. They totally are. And then from Mark Golden, it says, always trust your pet's judgment. Yes. You know, dogs can be too, but dogs can be a lot more forgiving and a lot nicer. They could be a lot, you know, friendlier to someone who maybe deserve it. But anyway, so that's kind of my advice, whether someone agrees or disagrees. But let's dive in and talk about what would you suggest, Dr. Rachel, if, you know, you've got a partner and your cats aren't getting along with the partner. You know, what should we do there? And of course, dumping the partner is not an option for whatever reason. We could come up with scenarios as to how that would be versus just meeting someone and all that. But there are scenarios we can imagine where, you know, you're with someone for enough time so that dumping that person is not an option. But also, you know, in our book, as you know, dumping your cats is never an option. That is off the table. So let's talk about that. And let's see, if I need a handyman to do some jobs around the house, if my cat doesn't like them, they won't get the job. It's also very, very good. I agree.
In all seriousness, though, you have a good question, because sometimes the cat may hiss or growl, not because there's anything wrong with the person, but perhaps that person has some smells on them. You know, they were somewhere else where there were other cats or dogs or other animals, or, you know, there were where they work. You know, if you work in a hospital or even if you work in a vet clinic, right, you're going to have smells of medicine, smells of other cats, smells of other people on you.
Totally, yeah.
Sometimes they're hissing and growling at, you know, some smells that you may bring in. I've even worked with clients who have like they're undergoing treatment for cancer. And they smell like chemotherapy, and that will freak out the cat. So there are all kinds of reasons that a cat may hiss or growl at a perfectly nice person. But yes, they can be very good judges of character.
Yeah, so
like you said, you're in a relationship, and you know, you do want this to work out. So I've talked a lot about this on the show before, but the most powerful tool to create a cat-human bond is interactive play. And not just throwing some solo toys on the floor, not getting out the wand toy and going do-do-do-do-do, but really having a purpose to it. Really going through what I call the hunting sequence. We're going to stimulate a hunt. We're going to trigger that cat's prey drive. We're going to get the cat interested in the prey. And we're going to really act like this is a real hunt. We're going to mimic a real hunt. Sometimes the prey is up. Sometimes the prey is down. The prey might scurry around. The prey might stop moving for a little bit, right? Like real prey will lose its stamina. Real prey may play dead to trick the cat. So we're going to have like a realistic play session. But when we're done, we're not going to say, okay, that's been enough time. Just put away the toy and walk away. We're going to complete that hunting sequence. We're going to wind the game down. The prey is getting tired. The prey is getting injured. The prey dies. Wind it down. Let the cat get that juicy final capture. And here's the important part. Follow the play session immediately with food. Cats expect a catch and kill after they hunt, and they expect to be able to eat their prey. That's the part that releases those feel-good chemicals. That's the part that makes the cat feel good about him or herself and the person that he's playing with. That's the part that creates the positive associations. So we're going to get on this play schedule, and now we're going to use this tool to our benefit to create positive associations with this new person in your cat's life. So we're going to start off with you. You are going to conduct the interactive play sessions with the new person just sitting somewhere benignly and quietly in the room. When that's going okay, then you will conduct the play sessions with the person standing next to you. When that's going okay, then the new person is going to conduct the play sessions and you will stand next to the new person. And finally, the new person will conduct the play sessions on his or her own. And now the new person is going to be going through the hunting sequence with the cat. The cat is feeling, you know, happy and content, and I'm a brave conqueror, and I'm a queen of my territory, and I'm ruler of my home, and you know, I'm so proud and I'm so wonderful, and all of this with the new person at the helm. So this is really the most powerful way to create positive associations between a new person and the cat.
And that's great. And of course, it's really important to do it gradually and to do it with patience.
Yes.
And that treat at the end, or the meal time at the end, is really, really important. And also, so is the movement. Like I was playing with Charlotte earlier today, and my partner's visiting, as we do about once a week. And actually, I was playing a bit wrong with Charlotte. She flopped down and kind of was like a bit bored with my movements. So, you know, somebody else had a better technique, and Charlotte then livened up and started playing again. And of course, we then popped a treat down there because it was not mealtime, and to reward her at the end. And then,
yes,
of course, in my house, Emily gets the treats when Charlotte gets the treats, even though Emily didn't do any playing. But that's a whole other story. that's a whole other story. We have a quick message from Happy Friday to both of you from Michael Parra, the fan. Yes, Michael, it's always great that you join us, and we really appreciate you. That worker would never get the job if he is not welcome. We're talking about this earlier comment about the handyman being welcome in the house. I've never had that problem, luckily. I have a plumber, for example, who has, you know, who loves cats, and so he's always welcome here. I have another plumber who has two cats, he has three cats, and so of course he's always welcome here. My cats never have an issue with him. And you know, most of the folks that have come to do work here have been either cat people or cool with cats, and cats are cool with them. Cats should pick our stocks as well. Yeah. Oh. They might be better at it than some of us. That's true. That might be true. Actually, I can't guarantee that. Some of us might be really good at that. So that is the recommendation of cats. So if the cats, you know, if the relationship is important enough that it's not disposable, we have interactive play. Now, on that note, I'm gonna just drop a hint right now, because I have a surprise guest, which I don't want to even tell Dr. Rachel who it is or what it's about, but it's in the area of interactive play, and it's going to be really, really cool. So I think it's going to be next month. If not, it'll be the month after that, my birthday month. But we have a special founder of a really cool company, a really cool concept. And Dr. Rachel and I are going to meet this individual, and we're going to find out more about what they've got to offer, which anyway, I think is really cool. So I'm excited about it. All right. So we've talked now about what you should do if your cats aren't getting along with your significant other, right? So that's that. Now, okay, I want to address it really quickly because I think it's pretty simple. You are a couple, you know, or a family or whatever, and you're going to adopt a new cat. Now, the question could come to some people, well, what to do if your cat doesn't get along with one of your family members, either your kid or your husband or your wife or what? That, in my book, should not happen, because if you pick the cat properly, if you pick it using, I guess, the way I suggest to do it in the Kitty Boss book, which we might not know about because it hasn't been released yet, but if you basically all make sure that you are choosing or picking the cat together, but actually you're letting the cat pick you, then this should not be a problem. The wrong thing to do is, of course, to go grab any cat that is, you know, beautiful. They're all beautiful. But you happen to want this cat, and then just bring it home without meeting anyone or even having any of their scent. You don't want to just it's like going on a blind date. It might work, it might not work, and then the effort to make it work will then be an uphill battle. It's always doable. You know, a behaviorist like Dr. Rachel could, you know, work virtual miracles with a cat, but it's an uphill battle. And if you don't want that, if you just want it, then the suggestion is you all pick the cat together and allow the cat to choose you together. Meaning the cat might like you, but, you know, be hissing at, you know, Billy Bob. Well, that might not be the right cat for the whole family. So you should do it as a unit, because if the cat's going to be living with you as a unit, then it shouldn't be just one person's cat. That's my opinion anyway. Some people, again, they have other opinions, and I'm okay with that. But my opinion is it's the family's cat if you all live together. It's not just one person's cat, unless it is. And you have, like, I don't know, a mansion, and it's my wing of the mansion and no one goes there except me. Okay, fine. I mean, that works too. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's how I do it over here. I have my mansion and no, just kidding. yeah, I mean, the great thing about going to, you know, reputable shelter to adopt is that they will know the personalities of their cats. So they can really help you match, you know, a cat that you want to adopt with the cat that you have at home. You know, and they'll ask the right questions. Is your cat assertive? Is your cat confident? Is your cat playful? Is your cat shy? Is your cat timid? So, you know, you don't want to match up a cat who's, like, very, very assertive and extremely confident with a cat who's more, you know, reticent or shy, you know, that type of thing. So you do definitely want to match up kind of like the mannerisms and, for lack of a better term, the personality of your cats.
And the sense, like, right? And the sense.
Yeah, all of that stuff that kind of goes around your cat, you know, think about matching that up with something appropriate. You know, an age too, you don't want to bring home a kitten to a 16-year-old senior cat. Like, that's just not going to work out either. So think about being age appropriate. Kittens would match up with other kittens or other young cats, but definitely a senior cat is not going to be interested in the play and energy level of a kitten. So be careful with that. And I do like the idea of, you know, maybe the adults go to the shelter first, kind of meet the shelter staff, meet the cat. And when they have an idea, then yes, go in with your family or with your kids. And it should be kind of, you know, a group decision, and everybody's buying in and everybody's on board with the cat that's being chosen. And then that is the most important thing that you mentioned about, you just don't bring the cat home and plop him into the house and say, you know, good luck. You really,
yeah, it's not a hamster, you know.
No, you really want to go through a very structured introduction process that starts off with the newcomer being in her own sanctuary room and start off slowly swapping scents, letting them see each other, you know, maybe just through a cracked door, then maybe going on to a gate. You know, you really want to go very, very slowly, very incrementally, let the cats get used to each other in a slow, structured kind of way. You always want to make sure cats have some sense of control over their situation. So when you throw something too quickly and too much at a cat, they will become overwhelmed, and feeling like they don't have any control will scare them. And then if the cat hisses or growls, often people misinterpret it that, you know, they don't like each other or it's not going to work. But really, the cats are scared. They're full of fear and stress, and they're overwhelmed. So a slow, structured introduction, starting the newcomer in her own room, is critical to the process of them getting along. You know, just think about, to put it in perspective, you know, if somebody was plopped into your home and you realized that this person isn't leaving, you'd be calling the police. So, you know, just think about the expectations we have for our cats and let them have that opportunity to get to know each other slowly.
Yeah. And Parrot says that cat should all has her own wing. Right. Yeah. The cat should have her own wing. That would be great. And then Paul Bear brings up a good point. Some cats are bonded to just one person over another. Some cats like to share their space with others. And of course, some don't. You know, my cats are not big space sharers. But they do get along, but they don't like sleep together and cuddle and share the space in that sense.
And often we just want to get to that point of tolerance, right? Like we don't want fur flying. You know, your cats may never, you know, joyfully embrace each other, but as long as they're tolerant and they can live and respect each other's space and territory, that's fine.
That's fine. And just to Paul's point here, he says, you know, some cats are bonded to one person over another. And yeah, absolutely. But what I'm trying to avoid is the situation where a cat is, you know, bonded to one person, but despises the other person and like hisses at them or scratches them and injures them. It's just that's not a good situation.
No. And that,
but of course it's true. You know, some people get a little closer to one than the other, you know, cats, you know, they do pick favorites and they will have one favorite, you know, partner or one favorite. And that's okay. As long as they get along and they're not like stressed and despising and attacking the other person. That's what I'm talking about with that. Because that's really what we want to avoid in relationship, in cat-human relationships.
Absolutely. Phenomenon is actually called being owner-centered. There are some cats who will be centered on one owner. It's very common, but like you said, it's okay if they have a preference for somebody, but we don't want the other people in the home, you know, being attacked or bitten we can avoid that. Yes.
We can avoid that. And it's relatively easy with our picking process, let's just say. He's got another good one. Perfect harmony in the household. Perfect harmony in the household. Absolutely. So that's so we talked about the sort of cat human relationship thing just now, and we've talked about it quite a bit. You also alluded to introducing a new cat. So this is talking about cat-cat relationships.
Yes.
So you mentioned about the gradual introduction, and you know, for more details on that, you can always follow Dr. Rachel Geller, and she has lots of content on her social media about that, about the introduction. And I believe you even did a video about introducing new cats. So on her YouTube channel, you can easily find a video about introducing a new cat when you already have a cat at home. I mean, I had to do that when Charlotte came. Charlotte and Emily are 2 years apart. So it's a gradual process of introduction. And the moment you go a little bit too fast, that's when you get the hissing and the uh-oh. Yeah. And then you just have to scale it back again and start over again with you know, they're separate. So it does work. Most of the time, nothing's 100% with cats or humans or anything, but it does work most of the time to do it that way. So that's sort of the cat-cat introductions. But now there's a question, which maybe we should talk about a little bit. It's the cat-cat relationships, right? So they get they're not always exactly the same, right? So what happens if a cat relationship all of a sudden takes a downturn and like they used to get along? Now that, because I've seen people ask this before, but now my cats aren't getting along anymore. So what would you do then? Or wait, we got Parrot says cat give you 17 different warnings to not violate. Okay. Yes. That's the hiss, the this, and then, you know, before Usually that's true, yeah. Before a cat is attacking you, he gives you lots of warning signals saying, I'm about to, you know. But anyway, so what to do, what suggestion would you have when that relationship has taken a downturn? And then someone's like, we used to get along.
And companion cats can turn on each other, and it is a question that I get a lot. And, you know, it freaks people out because their cats got along, and all of a sudden now they're fighting and they're hissing and this fur flying. So you can always walk it back and do a complete reintroduction. You can always reintroduce your cats as if they've never met each other before, and it will work. You can walk it back, start from the beginning, create those new positive associations, and this will carry them back into a tolerant relationship. If the situation isn't terrible, you know, they're hissing, they're chasing, but there's not physical contact, you can always do the interactive play method like I described before to introduce a new person. You can play with the cats in proximity of each other and create positive association. So that's something that you can do as well. But I find that the, you know, doing a complete reintroduction is the safest, and most effective way to really, you know, reintroduce the cats and have it stick. This happens a lot between the ages of 2 and 4. Cats go through social maturity between the ages of 2 and 4, and that's when they really want to establish their status and who's the higher status cat and who's the lower status cat. But it can happen at any time. One way to avoid this happening in the first place is to make sure you have plenty of vertical space in your home and have it be multiple heights and multi-tiered. So not only do your cats enjoy being up high and watching the world from an elevated spot, but elevated vertical space is a way for cats to show their status and to work out who's the dominant cat and who's the more submissive cat through vertical space rather than fighting. So the higher status cat can choose the higher spot on the cat tree. The lower status cats will choose the lower spots on the cat tree, and so forth. And you don't have to, I mean, I know cat trees are expensive and they're big and bulky. You don't need to have all kinds of cat trees in your home. You know, look around, chances you have some shelving space that's going unused. Shelves can be repurposed as vertical space with a cozy blanket or quilt on top of the shelf. Same with storage containers or the back of your sofa or the top of your bureau. So just, you know, make sure you have multiple tiers of vertical space, and that will really help your cats get along and show their status and show who's the top cat and who's the bottom cat without having to fight.
Okay, so that sounds really, really cool. So we have a question or a comment that just came in from Paul Bear. I had a situation where cats who were friends were attacking each other. One of my cats who had a liver tumor was picked on by his friend. I had to split them up. It was shocking. The cat who had the tumor was the boss, but once he showed weakness, the other cat took advantage. So that's a very sad situation. It's a little bit along the lines of what Dr. Rachel was saying. Somebody, an owner, has is having a cancer treatment, and the chemo is all of a sudden changing the attitude of the cat towards its owner. That is a shocking situation. What would you have done in this situation? Would you have just split them up like that?
I mean, it's the same thing. So when a cat is sick, when a cat has, you know, any type of illness, any type of sickness, they smell different. You know, the pheromones that they're emitting are completely different. Their scent deposits are completely different. So there's a couple of things going on. Number one is something called non-recognition aggression. That cat now smells different. He may be acting different. He may be taking medications that make his, you know, his odors different, his pheromones smell different. So the companion cat no longer recognizes that cat in the same way and then perceives an invader or an opponent on the territory. So, you know, they'll react accordingly. Even if the cat isn't on any medication or isn't on chemo, having a tumor or any type of cancer or any type of illness does change the body chemistry of a cat, and their smells and their ability to gather information via scent is so strong that the slightest, I mean, I've had that problem with cats who have pancreatitis or, you know, anything that changes that body chemistry, they will pick up on. But the other thing is, they do know when the other cat is vulnerable And at the end of the day, you know, cats do rely a lot on their instinct. So they will take that opportunity to show kind of survival of the fittest types of things that we think of, you know, as in big cats out in the wild. But often our domesticated cats will have many of these same instincts.
Yeah. Just as a side note, it's not just cats that smell different when they have a condition. Humans smell different too. We are just not that sensitive olfactorily, you know, with our noses to pick up on it. Absolutely. But dogs are, for example. There are dogs out there. I mean, look, don't take my word for it. Look this up on the internet. I mean, Google search this. There are dogs who are trained to smell cancer in humans, meaning they can go and they can detect it. And that's a really fascinating thing, but it's part of nature. And cats can also, they just, you know, react to it differently than a dog does. And so Paul is just clarifying, he was taking homeopathic meds, so possibly different. Now, homeopathic might or might not make him smell different, but what for sure made him smell different was the presence of the tumor on the liver. So that by itself was already enough to throw off the other cat.
Sometimes in those situations, I'll tell people to separate the cats and then do some scent swapping. So, you know, rub the cat who has the tumor, take a sock, rub the cat who has the tumor, you know, around his mouth, his chin, get those, all that area where they deposit their scent, and then place that sock in the room where the other cat is separated and let them kind of re-smell each other and get reintroduced to each other without the other cat present. So, you know, let them do some scent swapping in a very slow, structured, incremental way that it's not forced on them. They can each smell the sock, you know, when they want to investigate how and when they want to. And then you can kind of slowly bring them back together again. You can even rub each cat with a towel and then rub down the other cat. So there's all kinds of ways we can scent swap and get the cats used to that new scent. But it is very, you know, as your viewer was saying, it's very distressing. It's very hard for cat owners to see their cats turn on each other, and it is a difficult situation.
It's very, very stressful, which only then creates a vicious cycle, because your stress then impacts them and stresses them, and then it just gets into a vicious cycle. So, you know, the last thing I think we'll talk about today, I mean, there's also, you know, relationships begin, relationships end. And hopefully the relationship with your cat doesn't end because you give up your abandon or surrender your cat. You know, it ends because, you know, you've had a beautiful life together and it's end of life. You know, the cats are ostensibly living shorter than people. They have a shorter lifespan. So in that sense, to manage, you know, the human emotions, of course, I mean, we're not psychologists. So what we would suggest is to contact, obviously, a pet bereavement specialist. We both know a very good one, you know, Vibeka. So we'd be happy to pass you on to them. Or, of course, just talk to a professional to manage your own thing. But the one big point that I would suggest on that I don't want anybody to forget, is that it does matter and it does have a massive impact on you. So don't think that just because you lost a pet, a cat, and it wasn't, you know, a family member, that it's less impactful. I know it sounds funny because it's not a family member, but it is. The amount of time that you spend together, the amount of emotion you spend, you invest in each other, the chemistry of it, all of it means that it actually is big. And the biggest mistake you could make is to not recognize that. You might go through your grieving process perfectly fine on your own, but if help is needed, then please definitely reach out to a professional, or if you need a tip on a pet bereavement specialist. Again, we both know a very, very an outstanding person who can help with that. So that's what I would say on that. But now there's an issue. Your cat has lost, let's say, a companion cat, another cat, or your cat has lost, you know, an owner and you've adopted it because it was your grandmother's or someone like that. Then, look, Paul Bear confirms it. You know, I had to have 9-month counseling to help me when I lost my cat. I can relate to that. God forbid it happens anytime soon, but I'll probably need the same thing when mine go. They had supervisors together. The sick cat passed 1 year and 9 months, only age 10 and a half. Yes, that's extremely sad, extremely young. It is a sad part of life when that kind of thing happens. And God forbid, on on any of us, but it does happen. So in the event that you're adopting a cat that is going through something, so it's not you now, it's the cat that's emotional, because it's a companion that happens. A cat, even in a cat dog household, the dog dies, but the cat's still there. So what are some suggestions that we have for the, let's say, the grieving cat itself?
Yeah, and cats do grieve. And it's important to realize that every cat grieves very differently. You know, sometimes I'm surprised. I've always had multi-cat households. And sometimes I'm surprised that when one cat dies, you know, I've had times where my remaining cats are like, oh, Tuffy's gone. When's lunch? Like, they couldn't care less. And then other cats who are just grieving terribly. So, you know, pick up on the cues of your own cats. If they're okay with it and they don't seem overly, that's okay. Just like people, we all grieve in different ways, and that's fine. But if your cat really is grieving, you know, I see a lot, like, the cats are sort of wandering around the house. You know, they're looking for the other cat, they're meowing, they're sniffing everything. Let your cat go ahead and do this. It's your cat's way of coming to acceptance that the other cat is gone. So resist the urge to overly comfort the cat or stop the cat from doing that. If your cat is, you know, kind of on that search for the other cat, sniffing everything, walking around, meowing, looking around, that's okay. Go ahead and let your cat do that. And the best thing you can do is just provide comfort for your cat, but maintain the normal routine. So if your cat is kind of meowing or looking around, you don't want to be rushing. Oh, I know it's counterintuitive, but you don't want to reward the cat for, you know, being distressed or being sad. You just want to let the cat go through the process. But keep up your regular routine of play. Keep up your regular routine of affection the way you were. And, you know, it's fine to use your voice in a soothing tone. Say things like, you know, I understand you're sad. I'm sad too. And just use a soothing tone. The cat's not going to understand your exact words, but the cat will understand your tone and your sense of solace, and that's very important. And try as much as possible to keep the routines the same, because cats do thrive and find comfort in routine and predictability.
So if all of a sudden all the routines are in upheaval, that's going to cause alarm and distress to the cat.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so some of it is unavoidable, but, you know, just try your best to keep things on an even keel as much as possible, and allow your cat to go through that process, and don't worry about it. It's completely normal.
Yeah. And then Paul Bear has a question to follow up there. Is it wise to show the cat that the other has died? So that's an interesting question there. So,
I mean, the cat will know. You know, cats can smell, again, going back to our conversation, and Justin was talking about the dogs that can smell the cancer. Cats can smell dying. Cats can smell death. So your other cat already knows your cat is dying, you know, maybe before you do. So you don't really need to show the cat that the other cat has passed away. The cat will know. I've had it happen both ways. I've had cats, you know, one of my cats, went, you know, I knew she was dying, and I already had the plan in place, you know, for a euthanization, and she died overnight on my bed sleeping the night before. So she died at home, but I've had other cats who were suffering terribly, and I really needed to make that decision. But the other cats already knew, you know, that he was in that dying process.
Paul says, I wish I was told by my vets your wise advice. I wasn't. Unfortunately, that's vets are brilliant savers of lives, or, you know, helpers to cross the rainbow bridge. Vets can be fantastic. I mean, there's bad vets out there. Vets can be fantastic.
Yeah.
But what they're not is they're not behaviorists. Yeah, they're not counselors. They're not trained in counseling a human or in animal behavior. They're only minorly trained in that. What they're trained in is the biology of your pet, and that's what they're great for. I mean, that's why me and Dr. Rachel even exist. I mean, we're not vets, right? So we exist because there's a need for people like us versus an actual vet. So, you know, we don't replace the vet.
Veterinarians refer to me all the time because they see their clients.
Exactly.
I'm not a cat behaviorist. So I'm sorry that, for anything that you went through, because it is hard enough to lose a cat.
It's very hard. And then Paul had to go through something even worse. I had to take the sick cat and I brought his body to bury him. That's very, very hard. I mean, I think depends what country you're in and whatever, whether cremation is required or whether they allow you, because there's some places where that won't be allowed. They won't allow you. Like I know here, which I think is a bit silly, like burying your pet in your back garden is really, you're not supposed to do that. Like how would they find out unless you take it to the vets? But if it passes away at home and you bury it, no one will know, but you're not supposed to do that here. It's not really.
It's illegal here too.
Whether that's right or wrong is another debate. I think it's silly to forbid something like that, but it is difficult. It is very, very difficult. So I don't know how to handle that.
There are no easy answers.
Suggestion though is if you are euthanizing or putting down your cat, I'm sure everyone has seen these sort of memes on the internet. My plea is to be with your cat. As it is for you, don't let your cat's final breath and final thing that she sees is some nurse or doctor as they die. Have that be you and how much you love them.
I've held my cat in my arms for every single,
but some people find that so emotionally difficult, they almost can't bring themselves to be there for the cat.
It's just our final, I think, act of love, and it's so important.
I think so. For your cat, you need to, I don't want to say tough it up because it's so hard to do. And some people, again, they can't bring themselves to do it. And I get that. But my plea is if at all possible, as hard as it is, be with your cat in their final moments. Just for them. I stayed with him. I wouldn't let him out of his sight. Absolutely. That is exactly what I would do, what I recommend everybody do. He says it nearly killed me. Yeah, I mean, it would. It would. Anyone with a heart.
I know. Well, I say this. I mean, I've had multi-cat households my entire life. And Justin gets a kick out of every time I say this, but I'm 62 years old and I've always had at least two cats, sometimes three, sometimes four. So you can imagine how many times I've gone through this. It never gets any easier. It's always unbearable sadness. I'm always inconsolable. And I usually have to take, a week or so, off.
I get a kick out of it because Dr. Rachel looks like she's in her 40s. And she confesses to be over 60, which is shocking.
I'm confessing to be an old lady, but it is
funny.
What it is.
But, I saw something on social media. It was a lady in New York being interviewed. She had lots of energy. She looked vibrant and fantastic, and she was well over 90 years old. She was heading towards 100. I imagine you'll be very similar, perky, awesome at 96, walking around, and just everything happened. And I think that's the type of person we're dealing with. She's so young. Yes, indeed. I agree. So I am too. I'm 74. Don't I look
well done? Well done. That was good.
Yeah. So I don't want to end on a morbid note. And so we're here at the end of the show. So what I'd like to do is end on a positive, loving note. So what I'd like to end on is you're welcoming a new cat into your life. Let's not worry about whether there's a cat at home there's no cat at home.
Okay.
You're welcoming a new cat at home. Might be a kitten, might be a rescue, might be, but let's not worry too much about the rescues because that could be complicated and fosterers are their own brilliant thing. You're welcoming a new cat. Let's say it's a kitten into your home. What is sort of, one or two pieces of advice? It's relatively easy to do this because it's like imprinting on you and you on it and all of that. But, so what would be sort of the best approach to welcoming this new kitten into your home and your life?
Start off the cat or kitten in her own room. I like to call it a sanctuary room. But again, cats are very territorial creatures, and too much territory too soon is always going to scare a cat. So start her off in her own small room. I always advise people, if you have a bed or a bureau in that room, block off the underneath so the cat's not spending all of her time hiding under a bed or a bureau when she's not accessible to you, but provide accessible hiding places like a cat tree or a cat tunnel or a cat cube where you can sit on the floor next to the cat. in these matters, it's always best to go at the cat's pace. So don't force the cat, you know, out of something or to you. Sit on the floor, be non-threatening, do your own thing, and let the cat come to you. Eventually, she will come to you, investigate you. You know, she might sniff at your feet or sniff at your fingers, but let the cat set the pace. You can form a bond through, you know, the playtime, feeding, routine, predictability. And when the cat does seem interested in seeing the rest of the house, and you'll know because maybe she'll start following you to the door, or she starts to look interested in what's on the other side, then you can slowly introduce her to the rest of your house. If you have a large house, you know, close some bedroom doors, or if you have a two-level home, start off with one level first, but do it in stages and in increments, because if the cat does get scared, she's gonna run and hide, and that's what we don't want. But, you know, going slowly, going incrementally, and going at the cat's pace are really the key. And as you mentioned, Justin, I do have a video on my website and on my YouTube. I have a new cat in the home video made for people who are bringing a new cat into the home. I have a cat to cat introduction video for people who are adopting a second cat when they already have a cat. Everything that I have to offer via my cat behavior advice is completely free of charge. Go on my website, go on my YouTube, look at the videos if you're in that situation, learn how to do it correctly, and things will go great for you and your cat.
Awesome. And for the benefit of people who are listening to this, which is most people, and not watching this, the website is www, so the website, Dr. Rachel Cat Behavior. That's DrRachelCatBehavior, drrachelcatbehavior.com. You can always find us through our social media, whether it's mine or Dr. Rachel's. So don't ever hesitate to just follow us and find us through there. But that's where all of her contact and content is linkable to or findable, and all of her services and products. Her books are not free, but they're donated to charity, but all of her services are free of charge. So definitely check that out and go there when you can. And introducing a new cat, that is the key, is to go at the cat's pace. That's yes. That's kind of, you let them feel like they're in control, even though you're in control. So let's Absolutely. Not be fooled here. We're not doing what a lot of people think, and some memes are saying the cat isn't controlling everything and ruling and potentially ruining your life. That's not what's happening. You're still in control of the process. You select the process. However, you give the appearance that the cat, still your home, you're still blocking off the doors. You see what I mean? There's a subtle difference there, because we still want to be at cause, we still want to be in control, but we want the cat to feel like they have control, because that's the kind of animal they are, and that's how we'll both be the happiest.
We don't want them to feel like anything's being forced on them, because that will naturally cause them to think that, you know, you're an opponent or, you know, some type of invader, and that's going to...
Speaking of which, your friend was there for the whole episode, and he just jumped down.
He had a good nap there while I was talking.
Yep, and now he's jumped on. So on that note, in a few days, happy Valentine's Day to you and your husband, and happy Valentine's Day to all the Meow Mentors out there. We'll see you real soon. This is Cat Lady Justin. Thanks for tuning in. This is The Kitty Boss, where you pick, pamper, and protect your practically perfect pussycat for a lifetime of unconditional love. We've been catching up with Dr. Rachel Geller, cat behaviorist. And tune in for the next one, the next catch up with Dr. Rachel, and a surprise guest. See you real soon.